Hey, this is Mango. You're listening to TSR.
TCR.
TCR?
TCR. The Center Ring.
That's what I said. I did say TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello, everyone. And welcome to The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Episode 158 coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, May 20th, 2019. The time, 8:45 p.m. Central Standard Time on the dot. We have possibly the saddest episode ever. But that doesn't mean we don't have the best content. We will end the show with e-news, as always, our weekly segment of things that we didn't have time to get to. We have everyone's favorite segment, Clutch or Kick. Super original idea, not buy or sell. Completely different and completely original. Where we go through, three-ish stories, news that we decide if it's worth clutching or kicking. We'll get to that. And to start the show, we have Tifu. Oh, bless Tifu. It.
Lord.
Tifu. It will not be the last time I call him Tifu. Tifu versus FaZe Clan. May the best clout win. But before we get into that, let's introduce the crew. My name is Tim. Hello. I'll be your host for this journey into esports. Alongside me, as always, is my best friend, my one true mate who will never leave me, Anuj. Hello, Anuj.
What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm wonderful. Wonderful. And, as always, for the last time, it's Brett. Hello, Brett.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What is up, man? What is up? So, to fill everyone in on the sad news today, this is Brett's final show with the Center Ring. Brett, explain yourself.
Well, let's start on a positive note, a happy note. You're still going to see me. For those Fuel fans out there, I'm still going to be doing the weekly Fuel Refuel episodes, so, you know, that's going to happen. But, I mean, just got to the point where life is starting to catch up to me. I mean, I have a boy that's going to be playing club soccer and I'm going to be coaching and, you know, Bryce is getting older, my second. So it just felt like it was time because the listener deserves quality, which you and Anuj bring week in and week out.
Agreed.
And I try to.
I'm 100% agree.
Yeah, right. And I don't want to water down the show. You know, I want to keep it, you know, on point and fresh and good. So
we're not going to tell everyone time. That we booted him. We're going to go with this story.
Y'all are letting
an executive decision today that it was time. It was time. To cut ties, okay?
Yes.
It's been 2 years. It's been a long 2 years.
Yeah.
This is the decision we came to today.
This is actually perfect because now I can file for unemployment, right?
And they will double your salary because of it.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Wait
all right.
Till you see the severance package we offer.
Guys. I'm not leaving the show. I'm not stepping away. I got fired.
wait till you see the severance package here, man.
Oh my
no,
God.
You know, like I told you at lunch today at work and stuff, you know, I support your decision. It's going to suck to see you go, but obviously you'll be doing Refuel still, the weekly Dallas Fuel recap that we post up on our YouTube. And then, you know, when Anuj is out or whatever, there's always a spot for you.
Yeah, that's right. And I'll enjoy coming back because I quite honestly, guys, like this is something I look forward to. I'm talking about the games that I love. Which has been awesome to do the past couple of years. So definitely something I'm going to miss on a week in, week out basis, but you'll see me again. somewhere.
It has been a lot of fun for sure. I mean, I started the show with Brett 2 years ago. I mean, I think Brett was a couple episodes hopped on before me, and we've had a lot of fun doing it. Like the last couple of years have really been enjoyable. We've got to go to a lot of cool events together, meet a lot of fun people, like do a lot of things that we didn't anticipate doing, you know? And so, really enjoyed the last couple of years, you know, working with you, helping grow the show. And it's been a good ride, dude. It really has.
Thanks, man.
Agreed. Yep. And then for me, you know, I do very much appreciate it as well, because back when Brandon originally left, you know, I thought it was done. I was like, all right, well, what do I go from here? And you were quick to say, yes, I will help out. And then we did a couple episodes, and I was like, my God, well, where am I going to go from here now? This is awful. And then so Anuj came on board and really saved the show. Really, just Anuj, top notch. Top notch. But no, seriously, Brett, you always have the spot here, obviously. So yeah. I see you every day, so I can't completely trash you here. After the show, when it's just Anuj and I, you know, you're dead to me. But I'll see you at work tomorrow. So yeah, there's also there that. There's also that. But enough sad news. Enough sad news, because this is a happy show, because esports are happy, right? Everyone gets along so well in esports. There's never any drama.
Never.
Never, no. Except for every single day in every single scene, you turn around and there is some drama. Well, I think we've hit the peak of esports drama today.
Yeah.
You know, you thought, man, Optic Gaming might not be in org anymore. And then FaZe and Tfue was like, hold my beer. I'm going to sue my own organization.
While on the team.
While still on the org. And in fact, he not only is he suing them, he also like pretty much announced it on stream with FaZe's like banners and everything all over.
How awesome is that?
His
How
own
awesome
stream. So for those who might not know, because I don't know, maybe you do something better with your life than watch a Fortnite streamer. I don't understand. Tfue is a Fortnite streamer, one of the most popular ones, probably rivals Ninja on any given day. And he is part of FaZe Clan. Well, you know, he's already announced that after the World Cup, he's not doing competitive Fortnite anymore anyways. He's just becoming a full-time professional streamer.
He hates the game, Tim. He should be your, like, best friend.
Dude, that's everyone who plays Fortnite. Let's be real. No one enjoys it. No one enjoys video games in general. We all hate video games. We just play
them. We really
them.
Do. We're salty. God, we're so... We're everyone.
Join our Discord when we're playing anything and ask if we're having fun. But and so now he is suing FaZe Clan. And here's a little excerpt from the ESPN article that was posted. I don't know who broke the story because it all kind of broke all at once. So I'm not really sure. But here's a little, the first paragraph. Tfue filed suit against his organization, FaZe Clan, and filed a complaint with California Labor Commissioner's Office, alleging the team restricted his ability to pursue his profession and violated the California Talent Agency Act for its role as a middleman for his brand endorsement and appearance deals. Saying, you know, Tfue went on to say, like, they're restricting, they're taking like 80% of the profit.
Tournament winnings.
Okay.
And that's the one thing, right? Is like, you hear, because when I first read it, I was like, 80%? Like, oh my
yeah,
God.
I know, right?
But it's yeah, that God, is not like... including the stream money, like from donations and subscribers. That doesn't include that. It doesn't include. What else?
YouTube
revenue, things like that. Like content that he's producing, it's not doing. You know, they're not taking that away from him. But regardless, I guess that's not industry standard from what I've gathered. So
and there's like a lot in this suit. You know, there's like so in a lawsuit such as this, when you're the accusing party, you kind of try and throw as many things out there as you can. And really see which ones are the courts going to work with, right? Like, where do you have your best odds? So he laid a lot out onto the table. You know, he didn't just go into the winnings. He talked about obviously being able to grow his own brand. He felt like they were not really allowing him to do that without working through them financially. He had mentioned that he felt like he was kind of pinned into living into this home situation with multiple YouTube content creators and just kind of like a house full of content creators. So they kind of threw him in here and they're asking him to do, you know, he calls like dangerous stunts on videos. That's how he broke his arm, was doing like a stunt on a video with a skateboard and really like messed up his arm pretty bad. He jumped off of a bridge for another, you know, phase video. And then they also, you know, one of the big accusations that he made was that they were serving him alcohol under the age of 21, like kind of forcing it on him and making him live that kind of lifestyle. And then also accused them of, again, breaking labor laws by signing an 11-year-old player and forcing his family and him to kind of lie about his age. So they're saying he might not even really be 11. He's incredible, by the way, at Fortnite. Like some little.
They're saying, though, that like he might be younger.
Might be younger than 11.
Younger than 11?
Yeah.
How bad does it got to be that you have to lie? Like, 11 is your lying age.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I know, right? And like, he sounds like a baby, but you know, like these are all things that were thrown out into this lawsuit. And so it's just like kind of a pile of stuff. And there's a lot there. I mean, there's like a lot to look into. And then this is going to be one of those things that's not resolved overnight. It's going to be ongoing, you know, months of delegation and you know, research and, yeah, and all that stuff. So,
and what's telling is it's not coming from a place or a person that is desperate, right? Desperate for money, I mean, right, or desperate for fandom,
yeah,
or
it wasn't
a
like
following.
His stream was struggling and he was like, I need cash, man, I gotta
yeah,
do something.
I gotta sue FaZe. Something happened, like, and it has to be huge. Well, because I mean
obviously I don't know the guy on any type of personal level, and I don't even watch his stream to even know what his streaming personality would be like. Maybe a nude you can say more on this. But he definitely doesn't seem like the guy who really cares what he says, right? Like, in the sense of, if he feels like he is in the right, then he's not going to be like, well, you know, I owe FaZe this or anything. Like, he definitely seems the guy that kind of plays to the beat of his own drum. I mean, that's why he's quitting competitive Fortnite. You know, he's like, no, I don't want to do it, so I'm not going to do it.
He's definitely an outspoken person. He doesn't, you know, he kind of keeps it pretty straight when he is talking. At the same time, though, I never got the vibe that he wasn't enjoying doing what he's doing. And a lot of his fame, although he was a great competitive player in other games prior to this, he had, it wasn't a huge following. He was averaging a couple hundred viewers prior to joining FaZe. And now, you know, he's getting tens of thousands of views the moment he turns on his stream. So for whatever it's worth, right or wrong, a lot of his popularity is due to having that FaZe tag on your name. Like,
of
I would
course.
Love
well,
for this show to be
there's
FaZe
a
PR presented
huge,
by FaZe, you know?
There's
like
a huge butt, though. Like,
because FaZe is also kind of in rivalry to like Optic Gaming, you know, in the sense of like they have that insane fandom behind it, right? Like those dead set loyal
just
fans
diehards
behind it. Yes, the
I mean,
diehard
people
fans
that get tattoos. You see them all the time, like FaZe tattoos,
and including Banks, the co-owner of FaZe. He has a Code Tfue tattoo on him. I mean, it's like he's
that's
definitely
awkward.
Been overly outspoken.
He
Banks,
tweeted about that. He's
know.
Like, "How do you think I feel? I have the guy's name tattooed on me." Now you've brought up Banks, so let's jump over to that boat, shall we? Because, first off, and I will say this, and we can almost bring up the, which I actually forgot to even put in any of the show notes today. Shame on me, but it's been a long week. Give me a break. I was so emotionally distraught when Brett told me he was quitting the show. Denial, right, with their drama going on. We kind of mentioned this a long time ago of, like, why would anyone want to sign with Denial? Like, even with their new ownership, who have a sketchy past to begin with.
He seemed like a douche, the new owner.
Yeah, like the new owner wasn't any... Yeah, he's a young guy again. Like, okay, so
he doesn't matter to be young, just personality. Like, watching his videos and stuff was just, like, seemed like a little bit of a garbage person, in my opinion.
And now you have FaZe, which, Look, I get FaZe is a staple in the scene. You do not want FaZe leaving esports. You want them to succeed. Esports is better when FaZe is better. But there is no way you can't, you'll be able to convince me that this is not a jerk of an organization, like a joke. Like they were like front and center years ago when the betting scandals broke down. Front and center, they were part of that, who would rip off their fans, they would rip off kids, they would rip off people just to bet on. So like this organization already has a history of being kind of a, you know, dare I say,
I wouldn't say joke, like I mean, like shady would be the word, right? Like I don't think they're a joke. I think they're an amazing organization. Like I really do. Like FaZe to me is a top three esports org in terms of what they brought to esports early on, and that was being cool, and like that was like a big part of it, right? Like they were a cool group of people who did cool things, who rocked cool clothes, who bought nice cars. Like they made they started off as those trick shot videos. Like they were a cool group to follow, right? Even the logo, like all of it kind of appeals to a certain audience. So what FaZe has done for esports is really above and beyond what 95% of organizations have done out there. With that being said, yes, they're run by a younger group of individuals, right? They're co-owners of this group are really young people. There were people that started off as players and kind of moved into this fairly quickly. Like all of them were either trick shotters and things like that, right? So to do shady stuff when they kind of grew this brand on their own is not overly surprising. Like the betting scandal, yes, they were heavily involved in it, and they're still, I believe, heavily involved in a lot of the betting that goes on within esports and those betting sites and all that. Tfue even put it in his argument that they also pressured him to gamble on stream and things like that. So FaZe Rain, like all these guys were like heavily involved in all of this. So, but that is a little different than what these accusations are. Right now we're getting into like unethical practices, right? Although that is unethical in a different way, this is like employment issues, right? I'm not sure how much I buy on this whole situation. They have been FaZe, as in they have been very open and put out a lot of messages and stuff today, where to me that's a sign of feeling, I don't know if it's comfortable, but confident. In what you're saying. And they had a tweet out today that I just want to bring up real quick, but it mentions in this tweet, we are shocked and disappointed. This is from FaZe Clan's official statement. We are shocked and disappointed to see the news of Tfue's press article and lawsuit. Over the course of our partnership with him, which began in April 2018, FaZe has collected $0 in tournament winnings, zero Twitch revenue, zero YouTube revenue, zero from any social platform. In fact, we have only collected $60,000 from our partnership, while Tfue has earned millions as a member of FaZe Clan. While contracts are different with each player, all of them, including Tfue's, have a maximum of 20% to FaZe Clan in both tournament winnings as well as content revenue, with 80% to the player. In Turner's case, neither of those have been collected by FaZe Clan.
So pretty much says the exact opposite. Of what Tfue was saying.
It could be damage control too, right? Like,
well, of course.
I mean, and there is some monetary value that they're getting from, you know, their brand being on a stream, right? Like, if it seems like they're just doing them a favor, right? A little bit.
Of course. I mean, you got Tfue fans and they see FaZe and then they go buy a FaZe t-shirt and stuff, but I guess there's no way of, you know,
Do they think they're not selling more G Fuel?
100%. We're looking at this the opposite way, in my opinion. People are going to watch Tfue stream initially because he had the FaZe branding on his stream. Then it's like, okay, he's a good player. I'm going to continue to watch him for what he is.
I believe
FaZe created him in the sense of how popular he is. His ability gave him an opportunity to be on FaZe, obviously. But who the hell knew who Tfue was really before he joined FaZe? When you say damage control, I feel like this is almost like, this is like really confident. You're putting out numbers here, okay? These are not like blanket statements of we didn't take much or it was a lower percentage than what he said. Like This is, hey, we've got $60,000 from this guy with our partnership, and that's it. Because they know it's beneficial to both parties to have somebody like Tfue as part of your brand, right? Yeah. So I don't know. Like, I'm not saying that what he's saying is wrong, but I really feel like a lot of it's going to come out to not be, you know, as bad as he's making it seem. It sounds like somebody who wants to get out of his contract is what it sounds like.
Yeah, so it's really tough. I mean, it's really tough. Because especially in esports, to know who's telling the truth. But like you said, Anuj, I mean, if it is him, he's going to come out with egg on his face, and it's.
I mean, look, man. Like, because people are saying, like, I guess his argument, and this is just me kind of playing both sides of the fence here, is like, yeah, people can be like, well, FaZe are jerks because they took advantage of an impressionable guy, right, who was younger at the time or whatever, because he's only like 21. But I guess you could also turn around.
He was 20 when he signed. It's not like it's been like 5 years.
Right. But I guess you could also say, like, if he's just impressionable, then I guess couldn't you also say, well, you know, who knows if this lawyer isn't feeding him crap where it's like, dude, I can get you out of this. I can get you this much money. And he's like, and I don't even have to be attached to FaZe at all? Like, then I could do this all on my solo career. I'm sure he sees guys like Shroud, where as soon as his Cloud9 contract, can't talk,
there you go,
lapsed over, and he could separate from that Cloud9 branding. Like, look how, like, he had all of his branding locked and loaded to go, and now he's blown up. He's probably looking at guys like Ninja, who still is part of Luminosity, but I don't really understand how that works. They seem to pretty much let him do whatever he wants. And, you know, you see these streamers that aren't tied to an org and still blowing up. So maybe, you know, Tfue sees that again, and says, how
does,
do I get out of this?
Right?
How do I get out of this contract? That
it looks overly appealing, right? Like, also, why would you not want to keep 100% of your money at the end, like, of the day?
I'm not a big party person, right? In fact, you guys have witnessed both of my party times. And look, I don't know Tfue. Maybe he is a super nice guy. I don't know. But I have a hard time listening to his spiel of, like, they made me drink underage.
Give me a break.
Like,
what? I saw videos of them throwing champagne and all that on. I'm like,
that's what I'm saying, dude. Like, come on. Do not try to throw that in there and act like any court. If I was that court, I'd be like, yeah, we're throwing this out the window. Like, that part of it. Like, of course, again, this is all saying, like, it could be, both sides could be right here. So I'm just trying to talk at this, like, from an angle that, you know, both sides could possibly be in the wrong or in the right. That's ridiculous. Like, that almost seems nitpicky on Tfue's part. And that's where I get the idea of, like, his lawyer or his attorney team is just saying, like, dude, did you drink under their house?
Yeah. It's because the law is black or white.
Right.
Put that in there.
Black or white.
Write it down, like, right? No, yeah. I mean, like, we bring up Shroud and all of these guys. It's kind of, you know, other than Ninja, but, like, even Shroud, a lot of that popularity is gained by being with the right organization, right? Like, going to Cloud9 was everything for Shroud's career, in the sense of he was already really good, but Cloud9 brings a million other brand people to your brand. So I think it's kind of the same thing here, is a little bit of a lack of, there was probably a better way, in my opinion, to get out of this contract than going the lawsuit route while you're on the team, because this is just going to be messy situation.
You know what else would be kind of telling? Like, how much longer was he tied to FaZe? Does anybody know?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, if it was a short-term thing, like months, that's telling. But if it's like 2 or 3 years, then it's like, wow, you know, yeah.
Throughout all these little lawsuits with them, has that been like a topic, though, of wanting out of the contract? I think it's just disputing that they are abusing it, not the fact that he's in it. Because,
yeah, ultimately, what happens here with this is you end up getting,
sir, allowed to be terminated. Did you not read the last line of FaZe's letter? It says, we are proud of what we've accomplished together over the past year with Turner, which is Tfue, and we will continue to support him. You think that's the biggest load of BS ever written in a statement ever? Like, yeah, bro, we know you're suing us and you're saying that we did all these illegal things that could possibly destroy the organization, but don't worry. It's all water under the bridge when this is over. You're coming right back.
During these tough times.
Like,
we'll help you. How much is your lawyer?
Yeah, because, you know, Banks seems like the real level-headed guy that would let you come back, considering totally. His response yeah. to Nate Shot. Nate Shot, and I'll read this, and then we can move on. Nate Shot, 100 Thieves. Everyone knows who Nate Shot is. Stand-up guy from everything that I've heard, does it right. So he tweets out saying, I hope recent news doesn't affect the broader gaming community's perception of esports teams. There are plenty of orgs in the space when top priority is their professional players and content creators. Okay. Very, hey, don't paint us with a broad brush. And FaZe Banks tweets this out, which, by the way, he deleted it soon after, which, look.
Well, Nate Shot deleted the tweet.
Oh, it was Nate Shot deleted the tweet, which in yeah. turn deleted
the comment.
Banks. Okay. All right. I did not know that. I thought Banks deleted it.
No, yeah, Nate.
Because the dude's got like 2 million followers. I'm like, yeah, dude, if you have 2 million followers, or even Nate Shot, he's got probably, what, a million or so?
At least.
What's the point of deleting a tweet? It's been seen. No, it's been screenshot. I mean, your tweet here has 7,300 likes. Like, bro, it's out there.
I can delete it. I can delete a tweet after making a grammatical error, but nobody's going to see that.
No one sees that.
Ish.
No.
Yeah, it's like nobody's going to see
that. So FaZe
got 2.5 million.
Yeah, that's been seen, bro. I'm sorry. But so Banks responds to him. And earmuffs, children, because I can't censor this. It wouldn't make any sense. You're a piece of shit, dude. And when my side is heard, you'll see why. Way to fucking jump on the bandwagon and chase the clout. You must me dancing right now. Matt, I'm going to personally make sure you regret tweeting this and adding this bullshit dumpster fire.
See, how does he know Nate Shot wasn't talking about the Nile?
Yeah, maybe
he's going to feel like a real douche after he finds
within
out.
An hour of this whole thing dropping. Nate Shot came out and tweeted like two apologies after this, though. And Banks commented on one of them, you know, saying, I appreciate this tweet. But Nate Shot did come out and apologize and you know, had some nice words to say for them after this. And I genuinely kind of believe there's a mutual friendship there that is too
yeah,
close.
Yeah, I mean, they're all COD guys, you know? They all
yeah, like they
cut
all
from
grew
the
up
same
in the
cloth.
Scene together. Yeah, yeah.
But that being said, I don't think what Nate Shot said was anything bad. I mean, it's true.
No.
Like, dude, don't use this situation to judge everyone, whether it
and
be
Banks
true
is
or
a
not.
Hothead. You know, you've seen Banks' tweets before. Yeah. He's a hothead in general.
I remember... I don't keep up with him, but I do remember from when the original FaZe stuff broke out about the illegal betting and setting all that up. He was another guy tweeting out saying that anyone who says they're cheating on gambling and they're all going to rue the day and whatever, dude. Whatever. Yeah. Whatever. Why don't you become a little bit more ethical with your business practice, and this won't come up once a year that you guys are screwing something up. But I digress. So we'll see where that goes. I don't think it's a story we're necessarily going to have to follow up on. It's just something, again, in esports with the denial stories going on, how they still owe players money, and yet that org is saying, no, we're looking into it. Don't you worry. We got everything on lockdown. And in that whole scandal, was it their CEO stepped down? Like... Yeah, yeah, bro. That's not a good look if you are in question of being not paying your players, and then all of a sudden your CEO is like, well, bye.
I'm out. Like, I'm out. See you later.
I'm busy, guys. Kids got to select soccer team. I got to go. Like, got to go.
It's topical.
It's topical. Topical humor. All right, let's get into everyone's favorite segment that still has no production value. Clutch or kick. It's our version of buy or sell. So let's get into it. We have three topics for this segment today on this show. Let's start with the first one. Optic Gaming / Infinite Esports is being sold. I think it is all but not a rumor. I heard that it could have broke as early as today. Last time I really looked at any news was about 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. So I didn't see anything broke. So I don't think this
Neither
broke.
Sure.
But anyways, it's pretty much official that it's happening. It's just a question of when and who's going to buy it and believe it. We are going to discuss when it actually happens. But my clutch or kick for you gentlemen is Hex to blame for this. Anuj, you can start.
Okay, go ahead.
I I don't want to, like, yes, partially in the sense that he sold the organization to begin with, right? Like, then it's out of your control. So whatever happens at that point is not his decision, right? He's the CEO, and I'm sure he helps try and sway and make decisions. But financially, if they felt they were getting a good opportunity to sell for whatever reason, maybe it's because, you know, buyout prices are high, or getting into these leagues with franchising maybe just doesn't seem worth it anymore for some ownership groups, like that's out of his control. So no, like I'm going to go ahead and kick and say that I don't think this is Hex's fault, although the chain of events that led to this initiated with him selling the team in the first place. But the fact that he's going back in, it's rumored that he's offered more money than the opposing group, but there is some bad blood there between, you know, Hex and the ownership group, that he's doing everything in his power to keep the Optic brand alive. How can I not support him? Like, you know, as with all the fun that we've had with Optic over the years on this show, I gotta support our guy here. Like, I want them to keep the Optic brand alive. I would hate to see that brand not be there for what they've done for Overwatch League, as being a part of that, what they mean to the COD community. The, you know, I think when I think COD or Optic, I also think a little bit of like smaller term scales of esports, what they did within Halo and Gears of War. Like, these guys are committed to a lot of those things, although they've recently stepped out from some of them, but they were there till the end, really.
Well, so, and we've learned why they stepped out.
Like clear reasons behind
issues.
It. Yeah, so, but at the end of the day, I think Hex is an awesome dude, and I don't think this is what he ever would have wanted to envision for Optic's future.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Anuj. Like, I mean, you look on Twitter, Jason Lake tweeting and all this, like, he is well-respected around the esports scene. So, I mean, for that, you kind of root for the guy. I mean, we joke on the show, Tim jokes, where it's like, you know, they're dead to me. Well, I don't know if that's a joke. That may actually be true.
You're about to be dead to us in like an hour.
I know. So why am I even talking? But yeah, it's like
wrap it up, Brett.
I'm gonna clutch that this is his fault. For this reason. I mean, it started before he sold the team with content creators, right? Like, just not really organizing his organization in a way that I guess was helping him monetarily. I mean, why would you release all these content creators? If
but it wasn't
well,
him
right?
that released them. It was the new ownership. That
was it the new ownership?
Yeah.
Well,
so they
but new ownership okay, released them. But why would they have released them? Because they weren't generating.
They weren't
revenue.
Generating
they
revenue.
They didn't view them but, as a relevant.
Okay. So that brings stock. Me to my second point. The person that you sold to, I mean, you chose this person, right? Ultimately, and. You know, this is who we're talking about. We're not talking about, you know, we're talking about Hex being this great guy, but, and, you know, I guess the majority owners being the bad guys, but he sold to the bad guys, right? So, I mean, ultimately, this is a little bit to blame on him for what is going on.
Mm-hmm. And I will have to agree with Brett. I am clutching that this is Hex is to blame for where Optic is at. There has been plenty of different ownerships that have sold off part of their teams or all of their teams, and they still succeed. Look at Complexity. Look at Envy. Look at Cloud9. All the original owners, you know, are nowadays with the investment money involved in esports, it's hard for these big orgs to stay like true grassroots orgs, right? Of course, you're, you know, Magic Johnson asks to join your organization and buy into it. Yeah, you're going to say yes. And all of them
don't
have
ask
found
him to run your basketball team.
man, I wish we were a basketball podcast just to talk about that story, but we won't. We won't great. Bore the listener of it. Esports isn't just in or drama isn't just in esports, though. That's good to know. That's good to know that we're not the only group of unprofessional professionals. But no, to my point, it's like I said, like maybe all the signs looked right at the time, but I think you can say that Hex didn't do his homework as better as some of his other colleagues out there. And to Brett's point, maybe he didn't set it up for success when he stepped away. Like, it all was working out when he was in charge because he knew the vision that he wanted to take it into. And then when he sold it, these other guys were like, okay, let's run this team. Let's have this be a success. And then they were like, what is this content creation you're speaking of, right? Like, we just thought you were a big brand and we could work off of that and work on the teams. Like, why do you have 20 streamers and YouTubers and all this? So I do think Hex is to blame. And then, of course, for like the obvious reason on why Optic is failing, the TCR curse, bitch. I told you, Hex. I told you, Optic. You don't say no to TCR twice.
Once.
Or this.
You say no once.
What happened.
Fine, we'll forgive you.
Yeah, twice. Once. I can understand once, but twice? No. No, you don't get to say, and I'm sorry, they didn't say no twice. They said yes twice and then completely ghosted on me twice when I was trying to ask for contact information and setting up a time to have someone on the show talking about your new book that came out like 3 years ago. How'd that do for you, buddy? Okay? When's a sequel coming on that? The Downfall of the Green Wall. Okay? Looking forward to that one. Hoping there's a whole chapter on the TCR curse. And then,
are you sure that this isn't your last one?
I think it might be. I think it might be all of our last one.
And then Optic can't touch me. They can't touch me. And then the second time when I reached out to Hex, I forget about what. I think it was like when they first moved out to Frisco with their little warehouse. New warehouse. Can't even afford a garage, let alone a warehouse, Hex. And then he was that like, yeah, I'd love cool, to come though. On. And then he ghosted me again. So I say to you, Optic, I hope Immortals buys you, and I hope they blast your name into space, and you are a blip on the esports radar.
With all that being said, Hex, we wish you all the best.
Oh, dude, I hope he lands on his feet.
We hope this works out.
The guy's super nice.
I hope you end up keeping Optic and keeping them relevant. Don't leave COD. COD needs you badly. It needs your team badly. So I would hate to go to a COD event and not see the green wall at that event. Like that is fun to witness if you haven't seen
that
before.
I mean, I've seen a COD event without the green wall there. After Optic gets knocked out of groups, green wall leaves that event pretty quick.
Okay, they won a world championship this year. We can't talk too much trash.
Yeah.
They're doing all right. They have a good squad.
Where's that got him? Selling the org. Oh,
Lord. Hex,
I'm not letting up.
It, bud.
I've been
you're going to get
this.
It, bud.
I've
Let's
been
go to the next one.
For this.
Go to the next one. We'll come back. We're going to have a whole episode on Optic in the near future.
That's right.
So
that's right.
We'll revisit.
All right. So that was that one. Next one here on the list. Yanko takes a shot at Mouseports for winning the DreamHack Open. Bringing up the question, do these small events really matter? We'll start with Brett.
I'll keep it short and sweet. Yes. I'm going to kick the idea that they do matter. Ask Astralis this. You know, in their recent tournaments, small events do matter. They build confidence. You get to work on things, strat-wise, going into majors and bigger tournaments. So yeah, I'm going to kick that these actually do matter. They most definitely matter.
Wouldn't it be a clutch that they matter?
No,
well,
it's a kick that Yanko's point
Yanko
that
was
they
saying
don't
they
matter.
They don't matter. Oh. So you're kicking that. Just depends how you look at it.
Can I do like a half pass? Like a
lateral?
Yeah, like a lateral. Like there's two sides to this in my mind. They only matter to the teams that it needs to matter to. Like, does it matter to the top three teams in the world? Top five teams in the world? Maybe even top 10? Probably not, right? Like, there's too many small tournaments.
I think that's
for
fair.
Me to sit here and think like that these matter. Like they really, in the scheme of things, only matter for a point system value. But if a team gets second place that is favored to win, like, am I gonna sit there and be like they suck? No. Like, if you're doing poorly at major events and all that, sure. But they do matter to teams like Mouse winning DreamHack. This is a relatively newer squad with younger players on it. So yeah, like it matters to that type of team. They need to build their confidence going into some of these bigger events. If you're performing poorly at a small event and then you walk into a big boy event and get smashed, like, yeah, they're all going to matter at that point. Like, you need to build your confidence going into big events for orgs that are making changes or trying to build a lineup or whatever the case may be. So it's a little bit of 50-50 for me. They only matter to the teams they need to matter to. They don't matter to everybody. And viewers, same thing. I don't think they really matter for most viewers. And that's why viewership numbers are not that great on them, right? You have 1.5 million watching a major. You have 75,000 watching, you know, a DreamHack Open event. Why is that? It's because they don't really matter in the grand scheme of things. Next weekend, there's something else. You know, I'm going to catch CS Summit this weekend. Like, that's more interesting to me, even though it's a smaller event.
But definitely does not matter. You know, like,
it doesn't matter.
The teams that are there, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And I think I am going to kick it overall because of everything that both of you said. Like, ultimately, that's how in the world, especially in like Counter-Strike, right, where there is no league or anything like that. It's all, you know, once you're proven, you'll start getting invited and all that. And that's why these events do matter for the orgs and everything. Now, I'm not saying, should Mousesport go and raise a banner in their HQ that they won DreamHack Open? No. No.
Are
it
they,
does
though?
Not. Yeah. It doesn't matter in that sense, right? Like, I don't know if this is a this is a trophy you put on, you know, in the back room. This is not one that you put in the front walkway.
It's a lower shelf trophy, right? It's not going to be
in
the middle
with
the lights
on
it.
You know, let the MVP keep this trophy.
This can go to the team house.
Right, because ultimately, Mousesport's goals are bigger than the DreamHack Open. But, they definitely still matter for the ecosystem of esports, and especially in Counter-Strike, because that's
how... So glad you mentioned that.
That's how tier 3 teams become tier 2 and tier 2 become 1 by winning these events. You know,
I was thinking the same thing.
Look at Ents. You would not have Ents now who they are without the DreamHack Open. So if you just keep disregarding these tournaments, like, who cares? They won this, right? Or they won that. At what point then does it matter that they're winning at all?
And doesn't it make it a little bit worse that it's coming from Yanko, who, I mean, just looking at his recent coaching, career hasn't been great.
I'm not going to blame Yanko because Yanko just likes to have fun on Twitter.
Well, that comment was spurred from something that was made. Like, the comment was posed at FaZe Clan saying, will Kerrigan
win more events than he did with FaZe?
With FaZe. And he's like, well, yes, if they keep on attending DreamHack Opens, then there's a chance that they will, you know? So, again, it matters to the teams that it should matter to, and you're right, for the ecosystem, it's most definitely important that's
right.
Why Counter-Strike is where it's at. Like, Counter-Strike in general needs these types of events.
Yep. So that was a good one. And last one for this episode's Clutch or Kick, which maybe next time we'll have sound effects. Who knows? We'll see. Maybe Brett can make them in his free time. Split. Splitgate, Battalion 1944, Rocket Arena. One of these games will be the next big esport. Clutch or Kick. I'll start with me this time.
There you go. You can do that. That's why you're the boss.
I'm going to say Kick. I love Splitgate, and that's what made it difficult for me to kick this. I'm a Splitgate fanboy. I like the concept. I love Halo, which is kind of where it spawns from. The game comes out in 2 days, so we'll see. Battalion 1944 also comes out tonight in a couple days, soon.
22nd, 23rd, right around there.
Something like that.
Anuj, tweet Lex. He'll respond.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, ask Lex when his professional career starts in 1944 so we know when that game officially comes out. I personally enjoyed Battalion 1944. Me and Anuj bought it very early on when it was first released in early access.
It's
officially
too,
coming
Tim,
out. What's that?
That's where you and
Clayster
became besties,
me
right?
Me and Clayster became super best friends playing Battalion
1944. The best friends. Like, you wear the same clothes, you...
My wife called me Clay in bed.
There you go.
You know, she does. I feel like he asks his girlfriend to call him Tim. So I think we share that. And Rocket Arena is this new game coming out, which is a 3v3 arena shooter where it's pretty much based off of rockets. Go figure. Kind of cartoony looking, though.
Unreal Tournament, yeah. Overwatch mix kind of looking
what's
game.
What was Overwatch?
No, it's cartoony in the sense that's where the Overwatch feel comes in.
The Paladins, yeah. Realm Royale?
Realm Royale.
That's what it looks like. It looks like that, but a 3v3 arena shooter with rockets.
And everyone thought that was going to be the next big thing, right?
And that's why
That's
why I kick this. As much as I love Splitgate, and I think high-level Splitgate is going to be insane, Halo for the PC is right around the corner, and it will murder that scene. Battalion 1944, even though I think is good, I do think there's a scene for it because the sniping in that game I felt was the best sniping for a PC shooter that I played in a long time. It does have Face It built into it, which I think is a huge, huge factor on why it might succeed, because it has that built-in ladder and clan system. Sorry, folks. Showed my age there. Team. It has a team system. People don't call them clans anymore. What is this? 2001? And Rocket Arena. I've become skeptical of games that pump money into streamer and Twitter advertisement, which I know 100% they did. They won't ever release the numbers, but the people, I never heard of this game in my life. And then all of a sudden I see half the people that we follow on the TCR Esports account tweet about this game. So I'm like, either you know someone who made this or they reached out to you to do it. So I don't see that being a next big esport. Now these could all be successful individual esports, but I'm talking, when I say big esports, I'm talking like how Overwatch shot up. You know, like Overwatch came out, they introduced the esports scene, boom, 120,000 viewers consistently.
Call it a guild.
So we'll go with, so I said kick. I think these can all be successful. I don't think they're all going to be the next big one. Anuj, go ahead.
Kick. Pretty easy answer for me. I'll tell you kind of a lot of this thing. Splitgate. Cool game. Halo is going to kill it. Like, just, there's no chance.
It's going to murder it.
Could not have been worse for them.
You
with
could
Halo
almost
being...
say murder is going to murder. Murder. Halo is going to murder all of these games.
Yeah, like, in terms of popularity, for sure. But, like, the relation between the two games, they're too closely tied to one another. Splitgate is the same game as Halo, except has Portal system
it's
built
funny,
in, right?
It's funny, because as I play Splitgate, it just makes me...
want to go play Halo. Yeah, and to me the Portal system is a little wanky anyway. Like, it's cool, but I think it wouldn't make sense too much in a weird competitive setting for me. But I don't think Splitgate has much of a chance. I think that'll slowly go not too long after release. Again, the moment Halo comes out, it's done in my eyes. Rocket Arena, always skeptical about arena games. I don't think arena games have much of a place in the esports scene right now, and I think it's a very hard to break in and really find something that thrives, especially when the old guard such as Quake and all that are finding it very difficult to survive in that scene, and they have branding behind them already. Mm-hmm. Rocket Arena looks a little too I don't want to say cartoony, because I know that wouldn't define the game, but it's a little bit too like gimmicky in that sense. I think it'll be a fun game. Yeah. I'm going to play it.
I think it'll be a fun game because we typically have six guys on a Discord at any given moment. I think it would be a fun game to play, like a community night maybe for TCR.
Yeah, but... it'll be fun, and but I think it'll just be what it is. Like, I don't think fans are up into the. I don't think it'll even get into the esports scene, and I feel the same way about Splitgate unless they enter real quickly before Halo comes out, and then it lasts for however long. Battalion has the best chance, in my opinion. Although, I think it's just going to have a niche following. I think it's a niche game. It's definitely not for everybody. It is going to be highly competitive for the people that do play, but I don't think it's a casual player's game. I think you need to be able to pull in those types of fans to help grow a scene.
I mean, even
Face It ladder,
playing it early on.
Yeah, like even when we were playing, like it was a highly competitive group of people that I felt like we were constantly playing with. And we're you know, not to humble brag, but we're, you know, I feel like we're pretty decent at FPSs. You know, we're not terrible players, you know.
We're so natural we FPS can, players. If we if we play something, put our mind to it, you know. Cup's pretty
not,
easy.
Not saying you know? Anything, but, you know, just saying something. So, you know, yeah, but I think
if Battalion anyone in our chat right now needs to hire anyone for a team.
Battalion will be one of those that it's not going to be events with 1,000 people, but it will have its following. The team and ladder system will help the game grow, but I just see it being too niche to say it's going to be the next big esport.
Right.
I think it'll be an esport, however.
I think it will be successful. I think you'll see 30,000 views for big tournaments. Now, the interesting thing with all of these, like Battalion, I don't think there's any like big organization yet that's bought into it. The interesting thing with Splitgate is that it's been in closed beta. It was in open beta like 1 weekend or 2 weeks ago, and now the game is releasing full game, free to play. It's there. So if it has a smooth launch, I could see it at least, you know, making a good first impression. Battalion has already had that first impression. You know, what returning player base is going to go back to it? Zen in our Twitch chat has brought up a lot of good points saying that ultimately it comes down to the developers, right? And that's also very true. If these developers don't try to put into their esports scene or help advertising it, I mean, they're dead on arrival, you know? But that I think it's far and few between where games come out nowadays and don't focus on that esports scene. Especially because all of these are pure multiplayer games. You know, they are built for the sole purpose. I mean, Battalion, from day one, has always been built as, like, this will be the next big esport. So that's 100% how their marketing has worked out. So that's there's that. And Brett, I don't know if we ever got to you, but real quick, did you want to say clutch or kick?
Kick. I mean, and it's kind of rough to go behind you guys because like you guys are making all the same points that I would have made. I mean, that's why I guess
gonna have two.
Yeah, I know that you don't even need me anymore. What am I again? What am I doing here? But I guess the only one that would really to me kind of stand a chance or be worth watching just for me. I don't want to speak for other people, but Splitgate to me, like that game has the ability to catch the casual player, just like from a play standpoint, the plays could be insane in that game. But from a competitive standpoint, it would get frustrating because, and you know, somebody that knows esports better than I do, Summit, said that it's just too random. Like, there's too many angles that somebody can come from, and it's hard to hold a point, right? So right. It just none of them really makes sense to me.
I always take the grain of salt with that in the sense of. And it's a reaction.
I feel the same way though.
If he's a casual newer player to the game, that's how the majority of the people are going to play the game. They're going to be casual. Yeah. They're going to be newer, and then they're going to be like, "This is too much. I'm backing out."
Yeah. Now I enjoyed watching it. Like, don't get me wrong. Right. I enjoyed watching Shroud play it. I enjoyed watching Summit play it. It was great. But I wonder, like,
can a game survive the longevity just off of viewership though?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like. If everyone loves watching Splitgate, but are like, dude, the skill curve on this, right? Like, because I do think the portals will not be as bad if everyone was work. Because I saw some like Halo pros play it, and it didn't seem the portals were not nearly that bad, like as far as like randomness and like, oh my god, now they're here, now they're there, oh they're everywhere, because the Halo pros were all using like crazy teamwork, right? And so it didn't seem as bad, but. Again, the majority of your player base isn't going to be professional gamers, you know. So that is a concern, I guess, on that front. So that's a straight kick from all of us. Wow. Let's get into some e-news, shall we? Starting with CSGO, we already kind of talked about it a little bit, but DreamHack Open Tours... Mouse defeated Valiance? Is that how you say that, Nooch?
Valiance? Yeah.
Can't talk. 2-0. So, again, we talked a little bit about that. Good to see Mouse Sports back on the map. CS Summit...
It doesn't matter, right?
even though none of it matters. CS Summit is this weekend. It's the best time of the year. For those who don't know, the Summit events, and I'm not talking Beyond the Summit. Beyond the Summit is who hosts it, but they're a little different. But the Summits, Melee Summit, Ultimate Summit, CS Summit, they are one weekend of the year where these pros live in the gaming house that is hosted by this organization, Summit, and that's it. They just play in this tournament all under one roof. The players will randomly walk in and out of the production. You'll see
wearing
them sit
socks
on the couch and
like
just
barefoot.
Chilling at night. Like for the Smash, the Melee is by far the best, or even Ultimate, because those guys are just so weird and they'll play Mafia and stuff. But it's great. It's just, it is a chill, it's a enjoyable experience to watch.
It's like watching a LAN party almost.
It really
fun
is. Yeah, think of like if you and your buddies hosted a LAN party and then you have cameras in the room.
Or if you and your buddies were going to DreamHack at a BYOC and
just
gonna have
that.
A great time.
Imagine that, Anuj.
Playing computer games
your
all night.
We're going to DreamHack without you.
I've imagined it for 3 years.
we'll miss you.
And Anuj, you can tell us more about this next one, but Smuya on loan from Big to Renegades.
Yeah, basically there was visa issues for Gratis Faction, which sucks because he was their newly acquired player. From
Renegades
Greyhound
has
and
visa issues? No way.
You know, it's just like one thing after another with visa issues, the board for everybody it feels, so he can't attend the stage of EPL. Smuya was recently benched on Big, and so the transfer has taken place. It's a loan. And, you know, Smuya is a talented player. I think he's got some issues, you know, personally. But it doesn't take away from his talent in the game. So he's getting a chance to kind of get back onto the big stage. And, you know, just unfortunate for Gratis Faction, I think, more than anything, not being able to attend when you qualify with your team.
In Overwatch, Mayhem Academy, which is Mayhem's Academy team, go figure, dropped their roster. Yet we see another contenders team bite the dust. Now they say they will come back with a roster that speaks more to their team goals. Now Mayhem Academy was like the second best team in the contenders league this season. So I don't know what more you want.
The team's maybe goals Korean. Would be not paying for a contenders team.
Right. We're going to look for a team that aligns more with our future outlook, which is not paying you. So
And Korean.
Even though their owner says they're not going to stock a full Korean roster.
No,
so
wait, whoa. Yeah, we're not saying that.
He said they're not going to do it, Brett. Ignore the fact that all of our guys are Korean.
Yeah.
We're still not going to do it. So we'll see what happens there. In Rainbow Six Siege, the Pro League Finals were this weekend, and they were nutty. The Grand Finals had Team Empire defeating Evil Geniuses 2-1. On the second map, Oregon, dude, it was... I made a sports foul, guys. And I'm going to admit this to you and the listener. I assumed one team won the game, and I walked away from my computer to get some house chores done. Only to come back to find that team did not win the game, and we're also like two rounds away from losing the whole thing. My bad. So on the second map, Evil Geniuses were already up one map to nothing, right? They were up 1-0 in the match. On the second map, they were up 6-3 against Team Empire. Match point. All they had to do was win one more round, and the trophy was theirs. Just for for Empire to come back, win 5 in a row, and then take map 2 8-6, and then pretty much rolled them on map 3.
And that game is super triggering too, because it, like, for those who don't play Rainbow, you can die, and it's infuriating because you don't know how you died. Like, you get sprayed through a wall or something weird happens, and it's triggering too. Like,
yeah,
if you're match point and you lose a couple like that, that can kind of play in your mind, like, damn it, what do I need to do here?
What do you got
to
do?
Yeah, you know,
so
like,
we've all
do?
Been on either ends of those snowballs, right? Being on the team that's down and all of a sudden things start clicking, or being on the team that's up and one thing just can't go right, you know? And so crazy to see stuff like that happen at the pro level, but we see it in all phases of sports.
Yeah, So that's
Bay is also top.
Yeah.
It was also nutty, though. It was a nutty finals. It was really fun to see. Get on my level wrapped up. Mango defeated Axe 3-2. Always hate to see Axe lose, but love seeing Mango win. That was Mango's first big victory of the year. Complexity Gaming opened up their new HQ at the Star in Frisco, which is the same practice facility where the Dallas Cowboys play, for those who don't know. This is also the GameStop Performance Center. So we were not able to be at the ribbon cutting ceremony. I know. We're adults. We all work. We have responsibilities. And
it's out in Frisco.
Just couldn't take the day off. So we will definitely make our way out there, though. GameStop, if you're listening, invite us. We'd love to come take a tour of the place. We are the number one esports podcast when you look up on Google. So, just saying.
No big deal.
Sir Scoots reports that the LA spot for the upcoming Call of Duty Franchise League is nearing anywhere from $50 to $60 million.
Oh my God.
Now, I don't know money.
It's for LA, though, right?
I'm not a millionaire. It is for LA, so obviously that's charging because the city, right? It's a big, big market, gets big money. No, thank you. You're not getting that money back, are you? There's no way.
And if you did, you better guarantee that I'm gonna be the only franchise in LA, right? Because you've seen franchising use multiple teams in LA. If I'm spending $60 million on an organization in LA,
LA better than my city.
Yeah, that better be my city and nobody else's, right?
There's no way.
One thing that they have going for them is COD is already proven, right? So the difference between Overwatch and COD is Overwatch is still in its infancy in terms of how long will it be around. Is it going to be a 10-year game? Is it going to be a 5-year game? Like, you know, people don't know in terms of the competitive scene because it's fairly new. COD is at least very established now. Take that for what it's worth, because viewership numbers are like lower than some of the other large esports. But
and the new COD could be garbage.
Could be, but the best thing about it is, okay, well, next year it could be amazing,
right?
They've also announced that it's being delayed and all that mess.
Well, so but the mess is actually a good thing, because the mess is they've announced that they're going to two makers. So Sledgehammer is no longer part of the titles, and right, I think a lot of that has to do with franchising. Hey, let's do a two-game rotational. There's more consistency in the types of games that you're going to be getting, right? Doesn't completely alter the pro scene from that standpoint. So,
And I think Overwatch has proven one thing, city-based teams do work.
Yeah.
I don't know about revenue. Don't give me all this crap about, like, well, Overwatch League teams haven't even made their money back. I don't think any of them were expecting to make their money back this early on, right? Yeah. It's only been a season and a half. Like, no one was expecting to get their $20 million, $40 million, whatever it was. Like, no one was expecting. Everyone, these people buying these know that the upfront cost is going to be way more than what they're getting directly back soon enough. This is an investment that they're getting into.
If I buy the Cowboys for $1 billion, I'm not going to make that money back in like 2 years.
You're not going to just make $1 billion back next week. No, I'm sorry to tell you. But I do think city-based teams work as far as popularity goes. So, yeah. I mean, look at Overwatch, right? Apparently the game's dying or is dead compared to who you talk to, and yet it still pulls in a viewership. So, but still, 50 to 60 million? Whew, okay. Okay, let's see who buys that.
I would do it for 10. 10 or 20. That's my price.
Take it or leave it.
All right.
Take it or leave it. I got the money. Put this on your esports radar. Super Mario Maker 2 Invitational will take place June 8th.
This is also the same event
Nintendo's hosting with Splatoon and Smash Brothers Ultimate.
Is this like a competitive thing? I don't even know.
It's like races. They're doing races.
Where you design levels and all that?
Yeah. There's a competitive scene out there for them. I mean, people do host Mario Maker races, like speedrunning, right? But it's racing and stuff. I do think there is a market out there. It won't be grossly, you know, it's not going to, it's going to be popular though, in that little community. I think it does, you know, it will be interesting nonetheless. And in League of Legends, G2 defeated Liquid 3-0 in the mid-season Invitational.
A surprise on all accounts that that's all I both got. Of these teams had an opportunity to be there. Liquid had played poorly getting up to this point and beat Invictus Gaming, the number one ranked team in the world. And you know, that's NA org doing that, which is huge for this. This is the second biggest event of the year. And then G2 took out, you know, Faker and SKT. So two giants were knocked out for both of these teams to advance. G2 is the Euro super team, kind of a mix of the Fnatic and G original G2 squad. So really cool to see both of these teams advance. It's just rare that you would see an NA-EU matchup in League. So, you know, good for them, and made for an interesting weekend leading up to it. Unfortunately, the championship was a little bit of a letdown in terms of quality, but it was fun up till that point.
And take that to the listener who said we don't talk about League of Legends.
Good job, Anuj.
Thank you.
I was asked last week by Connor, friend of the show, and he was like, why don't you guys talk about League? And I just wanted to be like, you don't want me talking about League of Legends. Like,
this wouldn't be your podcast.
That
Connor.
One sentence of G2 defeated Liquid 3-0, that's all I know. That's it. That's all I know about League of Legends. I was a Dota guy, and I was a HOTS guy. So I play MOBAs. League of Legends was not one of them. So I don't know. In fact, it's almost impressive to the point where I woke up and just saw Twitter blowing up about Team Liquid. And, like, I put in our little show chat, like, what'd they do? Like, what's going on in League right now that everybody is freaking out? Like, this must be important. It must be good.
Why are people crying over this result? I don't understand. What's going on?
HOTS was the best MOBA ever that never be until Blizzard took it out to pasture and said, don't worry, little buddy.
We'll see.
It's okay.
We'll be back.
It's okay. We'll be back. We'll be back.
Is this still BattleNet?
As you just hear the click and HOTS developers are like, what was that noise? And they were like, don't worry. And then they faded to black, not knowing, not feeling a thing. Blizzard, you bastards. No, it's still on BattleNet, and they're still shilling out skins and crap for you to pay money for. It's like, you guys have publicly announced that this game is dead to you, and you're still going to ask for my money. Touche, Blizzard. Touche. Before I start the outro music, because it's only like a minute long, Brett, I did also want to just take the time one more time to say goodbye. Thank you for your time and effort putting to the show. It's been over 100 episodes that you've been on the show. It's been, golly, it's got to be 2 years, over 2 years now.
Yeah, 2 years, 100 episodes. And, you know, for you guys, for the listeners out there, know that this wasn't an easy decision to make, because quite honestly, you guys are my best buddies. I love coming on here and talking esports with you guys. I mean, it's something that I look forward to every week. But, you know, it just got to the point where, you know, I want this show to continue to grow. I mean, I feel the momentum. Spoiler alert, for those who don't know, we're not making money doing this right now.
What?
Yeah.
No way.
We're not. This, get out. We come here every week, you know, week in, week out. We watch esports because we love watching it and we love talking about it. And the momentum is crazy on this show. I've seen it grow over the 100 episodes that I've been doing it, and it's great. It's crazy. You know, us being in articles saying that, you know, we're the number one podcast to listen to for esports, and, you know, all the relationships that we've built over the years, you know, events that we've covered, Tim going to Overwatch New York and covering that on Overwatch's bill. I mean, people are noticing the show, and I want it to continue to gain momentum, grow, and I don't want to, you know, bring the show down, because I just can't keep up with it as much with things going on right now. So for the listeners out there, continue watching, continue supporting. These guys are great. You'll still be able to see me on Refuel. I'll be doing those episodes. talking about your Dallas Fuel and the Overwatch League. So, because I'm a fan, you know, I'm an Overwatch fanboy. That's what I do. But continue watching. I love you all, and nothing but the best going forward.
I'm gonna shed a tear right now.
Yeah, I know.
Do this off stream.
Well, Brett. Again, I do really appreciate it. And of course, yes, you'll be doing Refuel. You'll be back on if Anuj is out.
Of course, yeah. People when Anuj gets suspended, you. And it's gonna happen.
It eventually.
I mean, he's gonna say something about like an Indian optic Look, team.
When he
or
finds
something,
out all the money that I've actually been pocketing from this podcast, he'll probably quit, and then I'll need you back. So.
yeah. Of course. Yep.
No, you know, again, when Brandon originally left the show, who was originally my co-host, there was like a week, 2-3 weeks where I didn't do shows or anything because I was like, well, I don't know what to do. And then you came on, definitely helped out with the growth. You know, it does sound weird that people are referring to us as the number one esports podcast, but it is a thing. People are saying it, and you have something to do with that. So if we could become number one with you, by God, Anuj, where are we going to be next week? We are going to be
probably going to tear it apart.
It's going to be embarrassing. Yeah.
I know. I mean,
I just hope you stay in the top 10. We're going to have to find a new IGL.
Yeah, I don't know how. How will we recover? How will we recover?
My one show that I did by myself. Yeah, totally. It was all me.
Oh, that's the wrong music.
See, you're thrown off.
It's already falling apart. The show's falling apart. Brett's not even officially gone. Playing the wrong music. Well, buddy. It's been real. We'll talk to you the next time you're on. For people who want to still talk to Brett, you can always join our Discord. Our link you can find on Twitter at the Center Ring. He is Dallas Homer in Discord. Your Twitter is at Dallas Homer too, right?
Yep. Keep it consistent.
You can follow him there.
Yep.
But more importantly, talk to him in Discord. We're always in chat, talking it up. We will be back next week. Anuj and I will be. We will have CS Summit to talk about. Maybe something crazy happens with Tfue and FaZe that we feel like we need to bring it back up. Maybe something finally happens with this optic sale that's about to happen. Maybe it already happened while we were recording. I don't know. But we'll talk about all that next week. So hopefully some news breaks. And other esports goodness, of course. That's really all I got. For Anuj, for the last time, as official co-host of mine, Brett, we'll see ya. We'll talk to you guys next week.